Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Gates Presbyterian Church. Whether this is your first time in worship with us or you are joining us virtually, we are glad that you are here with us today. A way you can learn more about how we are church together, take a look at that bulletin, and there are announcements and calendars. Learn about how we are church together through worship and fellowship, mission and learning. If you have any questions about worship today or any of our events in the life of the church, please ask someone around you. There will also be an elder at the communion table following worship today. You may have noticed this morning things are a bit different. We are welcoming the Reverend Katie Jo Sudeby, who will share with us much more throughout the service about the work that she is doing. I would invite children, they are welcome to come hang out on the pillows. Please don't get any closer than the pillows, though, because what Katie Jo is doing involves sand, so no sneezing or heavy breathing. But parents, please do be aware that we are joining friends all across wherever they may be coming from through Facebook Live. So your children's images will be on the internet, just so that you are all aware of that. And the microphone's pretty sensitive, so if you are commenting, folks will also hear you. But we're glad that you are here. We have just a few announcements before we begin worship this morning. First is, please notice in your harbinger, you will see all the events that are taking place during Holy Week, both worship and service. On the Saturday before Easter is the Saturday, we are serving at St. Joseph's House of Hospitality. The time for food preparation has been changed to 3:30 on Good Friday. That way folks do have an opportunity to be in worship with us at 7. But it's a great opportunity for kids to come join and also help prepare that meal since they will be on break that day. We have a few other announcements today. Larry.
Good morning. Brought my little friend with me today, so it either means we have a major pet infestation or our fifth annual GPC Giant Community Flea Market is coming. Again, this year we'll only be accepting donations of books, hard or soft cover, fiction, nonfiction, children's books, cookbooks, DVDs, but please, no textbooks, magazines, encyclopedias, journals, family Bibles, tapes, that kind of stuff. Bins are currently available in the library for dropping off your book donations. We'll also be accepting potted plants, baked goods, anytime on the Friday before or the morning of the market. This is our biggest money maker, so we really need baked goods at that time. Please don't donate any other items, as we don't have any means to sell them. The sign-up sheets will be on the kiosk around April 28th, so we need a lot of volunteers to make this work. We need help with setup, manning the booths for the church, hosts and hostesses, parking and traffic control, and cleanup. Also this year, we're going to try something new. We're going to do some electronic sign-up through Facebook. So if you're more Facebook savvy and so on, and you don't want to write your name on a piece of paper, we'll be putting it up on Facebook about the 28th as well. Also, if you could, become a vendor. Registration forms are in the narthex, and also, please advertise for us. Thank you.
Jan?
Good morning. I didn't know I was going to be on
Facebook
the internet
Live.
Today.
Yeah,
wow.
I know.
I'm here on behalf of the property development team, and I just want to draw your attention to the notice again in the bulletin this morning about our upcoming events with that. This is a reminder of our conversation that we will have next Sunday with Rob Kane of Pathstone. We will meet with him right after worship. And this will be your opportunity to ask questions about the memorandum of understanding that's been developed concerning the terms of our proposed lease, an appraiser's report and a rent schedule options, and the motion that you will be asked to consider. We're very hopeful that by the end of this week, we will be able to email all those documents out to you. We know some of you, unfortunately, don't use email, but there will be print copies here next Sunday before the meeting. And then on Sunday, April 28th, 3 weeks from today, there will be a called congregational meeting to take the vote after worship of the to take a vote of the proposed motion. And that meeting will be moderated by Amy Fowler, our presbyter for the presbytery. So those are two important Sundays for you to keep in mind, and please look for that material and come prepared. Thank you.
John? Good morning. Just a reminder to please bring back your fish banks next week for our One Great Hour of Sharing. If you don't have one yet, I have some extras in my office. Also, Work Project Bound program is gearing up. That's where our senior highs that are going on the summer work project can be hired out to all of you if you need any yard work done or need a babysitter. It will be $10 an hour applied directly to their summer work project account. So our sign up will be on the kiosk. Please stop by. And also, 5th to 8th graders, you do not have Sunday school today. You're welcome to come up front, sit on the pillows, and enjoy the sand creation. The younger children do still have Sunday school, but if they're in, like, older elementary, I'll leave it up to the parents if you're going to stay for the sand mandala creation or send them to class. Thank you. And if you're having trouble seeing the screen and you do have a phone, you are very welcome to connect to Facebook Live. This is being streamed on my page, so if we're friends, you should be able to see it. I would ask that you make sure your phone is on mute and your volume's all the way down so we're not getting the double noise going on. All right. Friends, now let us begin with this time of worship, remembering the two simple truths of forgiveness. There is nothing that cannot be forgiven, and there is no one undeserving of forgiveness.
Thank you.
Friends, let us stand and join all our voices together. In Psalm 27, found on page 90 of your hymnal. Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom then shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers came upon me to eat up my flesh, it was they, my foes and my adversaries, who stumbled and fell. Though an army should encamp against me, yet my heart shall not be afraid. And though war should rise up against me, yet will I put my trust in the Lord. One thing I have asked of the Lord, one thing I seek, that I might dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the fair beauty of the Lord, to see God in the temple. On the day of trouble, the Lord shall shelter me in safety. The Lord shall hide me in the secrecy of the holy place and set me high upon a rock. Even now, the Lord lifts up my head above my enemies round about me. Therefore, I will offer in the holy place an oblation with sounds of great gladness. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Hearken to my voice, O Lord, when I call, have mercy on me and answer. You speak in my heart and say, seek my face. Your face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not your face from me, nor turn away your servant in displeasure. You have been my helper. Cast me not away. Do not forsake me, O God of my salvation. Though my father and my mother forsake me, the Lord will sustain me. Your way, O Lord. Lead me on a level path because of my enemies. Deliver me not into the hand of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen up against me, and also those who speak malice. What if I had not believed that I should see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living? O tarry and await the Lord's pleasure. Be strong, and the Lord shall comfort your heart. Wait patiently for the Lord. may be seated. And as you settle into place, I would invite you into this time of forgiveness, a time to close your eyes if you feel comfortable doing so, or if you'd like to focus on the images on the screen. But take a moment and pay attention to your breath. Don't direct your breath, just follow it for a moment. And a few weeks ago, we imagined together the safe spaces each of us need to tell our stories of hurt and pain, to journey on this path of forgiveness. I would invite you to imagine that safe space again and to place yourself in it, to see it whether you be outside or inside. Imagine what the place smells like and what you hear in this space. Relax and invite all of your senses into this place. And now remember your trusted companion, the one who is with you, a loved one, a friend, or a spiritual figure, someone whom you trust. And at this point of our journey on this path of forgiveness, imagine yourself sharing with your companion the hopes and fears you've had, where you are on your path of renewing or releasing the relationship. Know that your companion will not judge your hopes or your fears or your decisions. Your companion affirms your inner wisdom. For a moment, feel the peace in the choices you have made. Pause and listen to what the heart hears, that we can begin again, that we can make a new start, not as though the past has been forgotten, but that something new might be created. From the stones and boulders weighing us down in time, a new story of who we are and whose we are will emerge. Building new relationships tempered by the fire of our history, trusting that God is the one who heals. And know that the truths you choose to make something new are there. That forgiveness is the space open and inviting where the tiniest grains of sand can come together to make something beautiful. We can choose to let go. We can choose to create something new. Let us join our voices together in song.
See.
are any children who have not come forward yet, you are invited to do so now. We've got our pillows that we're going to ask you that you stay on or behind, so the buffer of sneezing is present, so you can sit on the pew or on the cushion. Katie Jo, they're all yours.
All right. Hey, guys. I'd also like to invite the adults. If you can see it on the screen, great. If you would like to come closer, don't be shy, because, where we sit in church is not holy, contrary to popular belief. It's how we sit in church. So feel free to come on up and see a little closer if you'd like to. But kids, I want to tell you about what I'm doing and show you the tools that I'm using. So this is Tibetan sand painting. Tibet is kind of northeast of China, and China still thinks it's theirs. They took it over in 1950, but the Tibetans have a very unique religion and a very unique art form. They are Buddhists, and they make this art that teaches us that nothing is permanent. So after I put all this sand on here with my tool, it's called a chakpur, what do you think we're going to do with this sand painting? Throw it out. I mean, yeah, we'll do it a little more ceremoniously than that. But yeah, we're gonna throw it out. We're gonna brush this up together, and everybody gets to participate. So we're all going to sweep it away. And the reason the Buddhists teach us this is because we are really good at holding on to things, maybe a little too long, and really bad at letting go of things. And so they think that if we practice making something beautiful and then wiping it away, it'll help us kind of get it in our body that we need to do this in everyday life. So this is the tool that I use. It's called a chakpur, like chock full of nuts and the sound a cat makes. And when you scrape it, sand comes out of the little tip so that you can kind of see what you're doing. So I'll pass this around. You can go ahead and try to scrape it, see how it feels. There's no sand in there, so, you know, scrape away. It kind of sounds like a crickets or cicadas or something. So, yeah, pass that around. Good passing. So when you have sand in there, you can do this so that sort of the adults can see too. I'll get it on the carpet. Don't worry, we'll vacuum. See it coming out? You guys like vacuuming, right? And you can feel the sand is pretty soft. It's very fine sand. If you be very careful, you can put your fingers in it and pass it around. If you spill it, you're vacuuming. Right, it's pretty soft and fine, and that's how it comes out of the tool. So let's not put it in the tool, though. To keep the tool and the sand separate for now. So I've been doing this art for 10 years now, and over the last 10 years, I have tried very hard to become a more patient person. So, you know when, like, you really are hungry, and you want something to eat, and your parents are not listening to you, even though you have asked 14 times, is it time for snack yet? Everybody had this experience? Right. Patience is the thing that lets you hold on one more time and wait till they're actually ready to help you make snack. And after 10 years of doing this, I would not say that I am a phenomenally patient person, but I'm much more patient than when I started. And that's why I started doing this art, was to teach myself to let go, to teach myself that it's okay that things are beautiful but they don't last. You know, you grow out of your favorite pair of shoes, gotta give them to somebody else. Pets come and go in our lives. Sometimes we have to move to different houses. And all that change can be scary, or it can be an opportunity to make something beautiful. Yeah, go ahead and pass that around. So, what do you think I'm making here? I've got it faced towards the screen so that we can see what's going on. It's going to have more colors, but what do you guys think it is on this picture? You guys already know the answer, so don't tell. We'll let them do it. What's it look like? What do you think? Oh, somebody hugging God. You know, that's kind of cool. I like that. It could be somebody hugging God, or it could be somebody hugging another person. You know, we all hug God when we hug other people. That's my favorite part about hugs. So there can be a lot of ways that you think about this, but one way, this is a traditional woodcut, which is an old form of art, of the prodigal son. You guys know that story? The prodigal son? I'm pretty sure that you read it not too long ago. So there's a polite son and there's a rude son. And the rude son is the prodigal son, and he asks dad for all of dad's money, and then he goes off and he spends it, and he makes himself so poor through wild living. He's got no clothes on. See this guy? Just barely got sandals on his feet, and he's got no food, and he's embarrassed, and he has to go back home and say, "Dad, I really messed this up. I spent all your money, and you could just make me a slave. Like, I'll sleep outside. I don't have to be your son anymore." But the dad, who knows this story? Yeah, go for it. What's the dad say? Right, he hugs him and says, "You're forgiven." Doesn't even wait. Runs to go see him. Hugs him, wraps his own cloak around him. They have a big party, and everybody eats hamburgers, and they welcome him back. Almost like he didn't do anything. Now, a couple weeks later, this is not in the Bible, but I'm wondering a couple weeks later, right? After the party's over, he's redressed his son, he's eaten a little bit. Do you think it was hard for them to rebuild that relationship between father and son? See, you say yes and you say no. Why do we think so? What do you think it was like for the dad and the son? Yeah, well. Deep thoughts, shrugging. It probably was a little awkward. You know, if I went and spent all my parents' money, which I think I have a couple of times, you know, then it's hard to come back. And but the initial "I forgive you," I'm guessing, was followed up by lots of little "I forgive yous," and by lots of little "I'm still sorry, Dad," and "I'll still do better next time." So this hug is like the first hug of many hugs, and probably felt a lot better than being all by himself alone with the money, which is what he thought he wanted. We think we want all sorts of stuff when we really just want a hug, I have learned in adulthood. So that's what I got for you. You guys are welcome to stay here, or...
So the older children are welcome to stay in worship, and the tinies are welcome to head to Sunday school. And if the teachers want to bring them back in around 11 o'clock or so to watch and participate as we destroy the mandala, they are welcome to. So parents, you decide on how you'd like to, what you want to do with your own kids. But we'll share the scripture today.
This morning's scripture reading comes from Ecclesiastes. "Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up the other. But woe to one who falls by himself and doesn't have someone to help. And again, if two people lie together, they keep warm. But how can one person keep warm alone? And though one might prevail against two, two can stand up against the one. A threefold cord is not quickly broken."
Thanks. I'm going to keep looking down and working while I talk for the sermon, if that's all right. If at any point the rattling of my chakpur is louder than my voice, then you can just let me know by shouting at me, and I'll stop doing this as I talk. So hopefully I'm not messing with anybody's hearing aids too much with my crickets of the chakpur. So I was working on this image this week, thinking about forgiveness and kind of wishing that I was the type of person who had already mastered forgiveness and had already, you know, gotten past the point in my life where I do things that need forgiveness. Alas, I haven't quite gotten there yet. I still keep doing things that I need to be forgiven for, and I still keep struggling to forgive other people. So I guess I'm human after all. Newsflash to only myself. Everybody else knew it. And I was thinking about the poem in the part of the book that is for this week that Desmond Tutu's daughter wrote about, that forgiveness is your back bent to clear the land. This image of, like, forgiveness is saying, let's work on this again together. Either your back is bent to plant new things, to clear the land so that a new kind of relationship can go, or your back is bent to clear the land so that it can lie fallow. And I was in, I grew up in the country near cow fields, and so there was a farm, which they always seemed to spread manure right when we were having parties and inviting people over. I don't know why the farmer always knew when we were going to have a gathering. Hold on one second. I got to pick a color here. I can't talk and pick a color at the same time. I think this is a good one. Huh? Cool. So this is going to be for his cloak. So as I grew up next to these cow farms, they would grow corn for a couple years, and then they would have to grow clover on the off years because clover replaces the nitrogen in the soil. And if you just plant the same crop over and over and over again in your field, then the corn will take all the nitrogen out of the field. And this happens with any crop. Certain plants need certain nutrients and chemicals and things, and they take it right out of the soil. And so you have to plant a different crop in order to balance out kind of what you used up in the year of growing something that seems useful. And so the years when they would plant clover, it was pretty, of course, and it let you see a lot more than the tall corn, which would usually block the woods. But I would always think, like, man, what a waste. Like, this farmer's trying to make it and pay bills, still has to feed the cows. That's why he's got the corn in silos. And he's got to just wait and do nothing. But while he was waiting and doing nothing, you know, I'm coming to realize is a good metaphor for life. In the soil was happening what needed to be happening, even though it wasn't directly useful, quote unquote, to make the next year's crop happen. And when I think about renewing or releasing a relationship, if you're going to release a relationship, then, you know, you sell the farm and move to the city and sell insurance. If you're going to renew the relationship, then sometimes there needs to be this fallow period, this time where you plant something different, something you didn't think was as useful as what you've always been planting in that relationship. Maybe talking to some married couples here who've been planting the same thing over and over and over again and wondering why he still leaves his socks on the floor and she still doesn't speak her mind but still goes off and just drinks her coffee in a huff. Can I get an amen? Anybody know? So you plant the same thing over and over again because you think it's useful. And maybe it is. But what I'm learning in my life, and as I watch others try to do this complicated thing called human relationships, is that sometimes you need to clear away what's happened and plant something different. Something that's going to renew that sort of whatever that metaphorical nitrogen is in the soil, something that's going to rebalance out something that got unbalanced, not because neither of you cared, but because you were planting the thing that you needed to feed the farm, planting the thing that you needed. And so forgiveness is kind of this strange opposite where you have to go against what it feels like you ought to do. You know, it feels like you ought to protect. It feels like you ought to defend. It feels like you ought to hold. Because that's the thing that we do when we feel a little bit out of control. But I guess the lesson of the farm I grew up next to is that sometimes it's better to plant crops that aren't useful immediately, but that will kind of change the chemical balance of the relationship so that you can have something new in the future. Has anybody been through a relationship like that where you realized, you know, we got to plant something different than what we've been planting? We got to... Sometimes, I love a good counselor. I'm a connoisseur of fine counseling. And sometimes counselors are good at helping us to see what, you know, we're like, I planted corn. I just kept planting corn. And I planted corn again and again. And each year it got droopier and droopier and sadder and sadder. And the cows got skinny like this guy. And, you know, a good counselor, a good friend, a good pastor, even God, if you can listen carefully enough in prayer, can say, if you've been planting corn for 25 years and your corn's getting droopy, maybe plant something else, you know? Nature has all sorts of beautiful lessons for us. There's been a song in my head, and I do lots of forms of art because I got to get it out of my system somehow. So I do sand art, and I sew a little bit. I make some costumes. And I sing as well, and I dance, not amazingly, but with enthusiasm. You should see me not be able to follow a lead when I do salsa. I step on all sorts of feet and giggle as I do it. But I'd like to sing you a song, if that's all right. It's by Titour, who's probably not an artist you've heard of. And interestingly enough, it's from an album called Songs for Tibet. It's a group of artists that got together and did a kind of like a benefit concert for all of the monks and nuns and the regular Tibetan people who had been displaced by the communist, quote-unquote, cultural revolution. The cultural revolution in the 50s, the communists came and displaced all of the Tibetan people, moved non-Tibetan Chinese into their lands, and tried to crush Tibetan Buddhism. So, a little history lesson. Tibetan Buddhism is like the Catholicism of Christianity, and Zen Buddhism, or Chinese Buddhism, is like the Protestantism of Christianity. So the Tibetans have all the bells and smells, and they've got good statues and paintings and cool rituals and secret stuff. And the Zen folks have very plain sanctuaries. It's austere, and, you know, it would make what's the word that starts with a P that settled the Americas? Pilgrims. It would make the pilgrims proud, you know. The Puritans. There we go. Right, so they're sort of the Catholic and Protestant of... So this is very similar to, like, what happened in Ireland where the Catholics and Protestants were fighting. This was... Communism was some of the problem, but Buddhist infighting was also some of the problem between Zen and... Tibetan Buddhism. And the Tibetans, so many of the monks were killed as they had to flee, and so many of their ancient artworks were painted over and destroyed, that the Dalai Lama was worried that this form of art that I've adapted and I'm doing, they had done it just in their monasteries, kind of as a secret just for them, for meditation. So many of them got killed that the Dalai Lama was worried that the art form would be lost. And so he said, you've been doing this just as a private practice, but the time has come in history when we need to share this with the outside world so that we don't lose who we are, because there's something unique about that. One of the things that I love about interfaith dialogue is that we all tell a different story and end up at a similar place, you know. So we have the story of the prodigal son. And as the Tibetans fled, there's a story of a monk who was being interviewed and said, we almost didn't make it. And the interviewer from the West said, you know, you almost didn't make it, like, out of Tibet. Like, many monks died along the way. And the Lama said, no, we almost lost compassion for the Chinese. I didn't even start out with compassion for the Chinese, and they were worried about almost losing it. The practice of making beautiful things and letting them go had already trained them to know that everything, even up to and including their homeland and their security and possibly the continuation of their religion, was temporary. And that hurt people, not evil people hurt people. There's no such thing. So I think about that when I'm annoyed or a baby at forgiving, that if somebody kicked me out of my house and tried to ruin my religion, how compassionate would I be? The monks are some of my heroes, and I'm honored that they allow me to do this art, because this is their art, and many people died to bring it out into the world and to share it with people. And so I do it with as much reverence and respect as I can. And by the way, they have their own sort of sacred geometry that has been around for hundreds of years, and I don't do those traditional designs because they're sacred to the monks. So I use the technique, but I make my own designs. But the philosophy is the same, and the monks that I've talked to have said, if your intentions are pure, then please do adapt our art. And, when I get a day when my intentions are pure, all day long I'll let you know. But I certainly am trying my best. So so all that to say is, don't mind me, I'm just throwing my microphone around, that this song from Songs for Tibet, it goes like this, and it talks about renewing or releasing, depending on what's wise. Who is to say who wins or who loses? I think to myself at the end of the day when I'm tired and know what the blues is. All my mistakes have become masterpieces. All my mistakes have become masterpieces. And there is a time you must stay in the moment, though your heart's still bleeding. And there comes a time when you must walk away, though your heart's still beating. So who is to say who wins or who loses? I think to myself at the end of the day when I'm tired and know what the blues is. All my mistakes have become masterpieces. All my mistakes have become masterpieces. That's my prayer for myself and all of us this morning. Should we practice some forgiveness?
Call your attention to the bulletin insert that gives you an opportunity to literally, at the end of service today, you will receive some of the sand. You will participate in this process of renewing and releasing. So take a look at that bulletin insert and be prayerful in the week to come. But now let us stand and let us sing together. The Church of Christ cannot be found, cannot be bound. Thank you. You may be seated. As Katie Jo continues her work, we also join our hearts together in a time of prayer. What prayers of joy or concern do you have to share this day? The ushers will bring the microphones around. They won't have to run quite as far today. Where did our ushers go? Are they hiding? There they are. For what do we pray today? It's okay. We're good. Any prayers of joy or concern this day? I got one right over here. You can pass that along. There we go.
Janice Bilalovic. I just like prayers for a old neighbor and friend whose husband passed away recently.
Prayers for an old neighbor and friend. And for any of our friends who are joining us on Facebook, they're welcome to post a prayer of joy or concern, and we can read it on the screen, too. Linda.
Hi, Linda Sidori. My cousin Kenny, he has had cancer for a few years now, and he's probably close to the end of his battle, but he has got a lot of faith and is accepting of it. So prayers for a good final whatever.
Goodbye, yeah. Linda, for your cousin Kenny and the entire family as he makes this journey from life to death. Any other prayers today? Let us continue then. Oh, did we find one? We found one. Good.
Jim.
Hey, Jim.
I think when we think of forgiveness, we think of forgiving other people, but I think what we got to keep in mind is we have to learn to forgive ourselves too.
Amen. Prayers from Jim for all of us, the journey of forgiving ourselves. Let us continue this time of prayer. Mighty God, a creator of the stars and the moon, the towering mountains and the tiniest grains of sand, you are infinitely beyond our comprehension and intimately involved in our every breath. And we draw ourselves to you again. We need you to assure us of your love for us and your hand in this world. We need you to break through the gloom, to walk with us in struggle, to teach us how to forgive, to let the light of hope peek into our hearts and release that which weighs us down. Holy One, we pray for the world around us, for the people living in war-torn areas, fearing for their lives, where violence is prevalent, for those in Syria and the people of Palestine. We pray too for people whose countries, economies aren't able to sustain basic needs for food, for the people of Venezuela, many of whom are starving, for innocent people everywhere affected by government oppression and politics between nations. And Holy One, we continue to pray for the people at the borders, for our own government to work again to provide life and liberty and equality for all. Loving God, we too pray for ourselves and the people we love, for those in their last days of life, for those who struggle with chronic illness, for those worried about a loved one and don't know where to turn, for those who are struggling with mental illness. We pray for our parents and grandparents, our children and grandchildren, and we pray for the children of this world, that they could count on this earth we inhabit to be treated well and sustained for generations to come. God, we pray too that you would show us where forgiveness is needed, whether we need to ask for forgiveness or be forgiving. In any of our attempts, lead us to greater understanding of ourselves and others and you. Thank you, dear Lord, for your forgiveness and mercy, for being a God who shares with us in our struggles. Make us mindful of our many blessings, and we pray all of this in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come,
Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us now receive the morning offering.
Dear Lord, we bring back to you just a very small portion of all the wonderful gifts you've given us. And we pray that these gifts will be used to further your kingdom in the world, bringing in a kingdom of peace and justice and forgiveness. And help us to remember that forgiveness is the fragrance that rises from the flower to bless the foot that crushes it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
Have everyone be seated, and Katie Jo is going to give us our final instructions. Yeah, for it. Yep.
So, this mandala in its completed form, or at least as completed as it's going to be for the moment, has a short life, just like all of us. We all have a short life, and we're beautiful, and we go away, and that's okay. Are you still glad I did it, even though I'm going to brush it away? This is how this works. So I'm going to invite everyone who can or wants to come up and help me brush this away. But let me show you how first. If you could.
I'm going to zoom in on it.
Okay.
Folks can see it. One
zoom,
last time.
Zoom right in there. See if we can get the closest picture possible. If you want to take a picture of it, which is fine. The monks take pictures. They won't last forever either. Sorry. So feel free to bring your phones and take a picture before we destroy this. And it's okay to do that now while I'm giving people instructions. So if you want to take a picture, go right ahead. I'll even turn it like towards the outside so you guys can get a good... There we go. And then if I could have the kids do me a favor too, who's ever not taken pictures, can we take all these buckets of sand and put them up on the altar? That'd be super helpful. And Dan, can you grab some and just put them on the... We could put some up. I want to get these out of the way for people's feet. There we go. Okay, I'm going to push this back.
And as folks do come forward, I am going to ask that you use the center aisle because we have cords over here, so I just want to make sure no one's fallen down.
I know that you Presbyterians love to do everything decently and in order, so thanks for being patient as we get our cell phone pictures and all of that. So how the brushing away of this is going to be, our young folks are passing out some dry paint brushes, and so those are going to be our little brooms to sweep up the image here. And if you want to come up and sweep it up, I would say come first, and then people will take a swipe and pass it on to the next person and go back to their seat. So kind of rotate so everybody gets a chance to wipe it away. And while we do, we're going to sing a very simple chant. This chant is, I learned it from a Catholic woman, and it's the words for peace, but in four languages. So there's peace in English, there's salam in Arabic, there's shalom in Hebrew, and then our brothers and sisters in the East say namaste, and it's kind of like, I see God in you, or I honor the divine in you, because it's hard to hurt someone that you see God in. So I'll sing it. We're just going to repeat peace, salam, shalom, namaste over and over again. And once you get it, you can sing along. And we're going to brush it into the center. And once you take a couple of swipes, find someone else who wants to participate. You all know you want to participate. And bring it in. So I'll start us out. Can I have your brush for a moment? Thanks. Now it's okay to sneeze, yes. So the song goes like this. Peace, salam, shalom, namaste. 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 Peace, salam, shalom. You guys can all go at once. Namaste. Peace, salam, shalom, namaste. Peace, salam, shalom, namaste. Sing with me, guys. Peace, salam, shalom, namaste. 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 Give it a good brush. Peace, salam, shalom, namaste. Peace, salam, shalom, namaste. Peace, salam, shalom, namaste. Peace, salam, shalom, namaste. Last two times. Peace, salam, shalom, namaste. Peace, salam, shalom, namaste. May the peace of God, the love of Christ, and the fellowship in the Holy Spirit that we have here go with you and be with you. This sand, because we've put the effort to make it beautiful and let it go, is sacred. And I invite everyone, we've got little baggies. Come up and take a little baggie home. Don't go through an airport with it because it looks suspicious. But take a little baggie home and either put it in a place that's prominent to symbolize the renewal, something totally new in your life, or find a place to let it go, a garden or a body of water, and take the old ways that you've been doing relationships or the things you've been hanging on with folks who you may need to forgive or who may need to forgive you, and let it go. And the Tibetans believe that wherever that sand flows, through the water or the little bugs that crawl over it, it blesses everybody downstream. That's what forgiveness does in real life too, I think. Thank you so much for letting me be here with you today. And as the postlude happens, I invite you to come up and get a baggie of sand for yourself. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.